Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is the one and the only Pro Wrestling Interviews. We are so glad to have everybody listening tonight. We've got a great show, and our show consists of course, first of all, from the far reaches of our universe, Indianapolis, Indiana, the one and only Todd Saxon. How are you tonight, Todd?
Man, I'm doing outstanding, the supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here, just trying to keep up with things that are going on in life, in the world, and, man, wrestling, good grief.
And wrestling, you better believe it. That's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And from Richmond, Virginia, the one and only master of wrestling and martial arts, or something like that, Steve Logan, how are you doing tonight, Stellar Steven?
I'm doing good. I had an open mat earlier today. It's always cool when you get a visiting black belt from another gym. Just glad I was able to nap this morning and able to stay up for the day because, you know, sleep schedule
and get her done,
stuff,
right?
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And tonight's show is sponsored by AfterlifeInsurance.biz. If you need life insurance, you call us 843-655-8775 and ask for Brian or Dr. John. We'll take care of you. Afterlife Insurance. I mean, that's what it's about. It's life insurance. So anyway, we got glad to have a brand new sponsor. It's all exciting, and right now I'm going to turn this show over to Stellar Steven, Steve Logan. You got it, buddy. It's all yours.
I think Clark Connors from New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to need life insurance. I just saw that he is challenging Minoru Suzuki. He is the master of martial arts. He's the guy that founded Pancrase before UFC was around. So that would be interesting. I saw Clark at the AEW crossover pay-per-view, and Suzuki, even though he's aging, he's still a badass, so that's going to be a challenge for Clark.
Well, now I've got to tell you something. Neither of my insurance companies that I write for will insure a professional wrestler. That is considered a dangerous sport. So we'd have to go to Lloyd's of London to get him some life insurance. We really would.
Right.
So anyway, just let him know that, okay? Just give him a call, let him know it, and we're going on from there.
And speaking of Suzuki, I've been following Scientific Wrestling and the guy that runs that. He actually had a lunch with Suzuki recently. I thought that was pretty cool. And apparently, Suzuki was booked on, an independent show in Colorado. And, Jake was friends with somebody running that independent over there. And I think it's, something titled Lucha and Last or something like that. But, yeah, that was funny, seeing Jake and Suzuki eating. Because Jake has kind of been very involved in the catch wrestling for years. And Suzuki, one of the most famous catch wrestlers in recent decades. Yeah, that was some cool that I saw recently. And Jake was he was, sending me a bunch of Arizona catch wrestling streams on Instagram. That was cool. Checking those out.
Steve,
yeah.
This is Dr. John. I have got a quick bone to pick with you. There is no such thing as scientific wrestling. There is professional wrestling, and it's the best. May the best man win. That's just my opinion. From years, and you know what? You're probably right. I'm probably wrong. Todd, weigh in.
I'm
going to
tell you, you're wrong.
There's a
I'm
website.
Wrong,
look
okay.
It up, John.
Well, let's
it's,
check it out on the intranet. Okay. I had to mix the pot up a little bit. I mean, I just don't think. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I got to talk to Rip Hawk. You know who Rip Hawk was? He was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. There was Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen. And I asked him, my parents were standing there, and he was doing autographs. And I said, Mr. Hawk, tell us about scientific wrestling. He said, there's no such thing. There's either professional wrestling or that's it. So I got it from Rip Hawk, and he was just like, like how cool it was to get to talk to him. One of the true legends of wrestling, just a great guy. And anyway, I just had to mention that. I'll be quiet now. I got my dollar and a half in, not 20 cents.
Oh,
that was years ago,
Todd. Things change. You're working off dated information. But hey, in all seriousness, since we got it, and let's run with that. I think that's a great starting tangent. Really, isn't it all geared more towards catch wrestling now, Steve?
Yeah, that website specifically is all catch wrestling, and they have a three count, but also submissions, and it's kind of similar to jiu-jitsu, but they're not fighting at their back. It's mostly just trying to get pins. So it's submission grappling with pins, basically. And submission wrestling is not as big as pro wrestling, but they have big events. They have like the Abu Dhabi championships that just happened recently, and that's like every 2 years. And I think the next one's in Vegas in 2024, and they just had one wrap up recently with it's like a 2-day event. And so a lot of the jiu-jitsu friends are buzzing about that. I think you can watch it flow grappling. Yeah.
Like we call it a bit of fusion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely more pop and circumstance like pro wrestling has. So that was neat, kind of seeing the lighting and staging of it.
Right, but the style's a little bit, it's taken more influences in. Would that be fair?
There's a little bit more showmanship. It's kind of like UFC, but grappling, but also kind of had that pro wrestling presentation. I think that's what Jake at Scientific Wrestling is trying to do. He's got a brand called Shoot Pro Wrestling, and it's basically catch wrestling and like pro wrestling kind of setting. Or presentation. Probably not the best person to explain this myself, but you can find it on that site. But yeah, it was neat kind of watching at Arizona Gym kind of do their own matches, and they have like pro wrestling style belts too that they win. That was neat. But yeah, I was just going into all that because Suzuki and I've been following a scientific brand, but I do have a question for John though.
Sure.
You mentioned Rip Hawk and Sweet Hansen. Favorite matches of theirs, because I need to look them up.
Okay,
oh,
and
man,
by the way,
Sweet
while you look
don't
that
up, look it up.
While you look that up, I want to say something. I believe the first scientific professional wrestling match was between Paul Jones and Ricky Steamboat, and I think it was like 1970. And it was on television, Channel 4, WFBC, Greenville, South Carolina. And it was like something no one had ever heard of. And at least around here in the Mid-Atlantic area, I believe that Paul Jones versus Ricky Steamboat was the first one, and it was a draw. It was a 15-minute draw. And I remember it vividly because it was clean, it was cool, but it just wasn't like J.C. Dykes and the Infernos burning somebody. I mean, you know, what more can you say? That was like old school that's like the Sheik from Detroit. I mean, you know, we love scientific wrestling, but you know what? When the bad guys get out of control and the crowd goes crazy, I guess for me, and please forgive me, maybe I'm sounding like a relic, but you know what? I think our souls enjoy the bad guys going crazy because we still love the good guys even better when they get beaten up or burned or whatever by the bad guys. And so, and Todd, what do you think about that statement?
Well, here's the bottom line. If a good guy can only be so good if he don't have a valid bad guy, you know, if you, if the good guy don't have anything to overcome, that really impacts the quality of the good guy. It really does. If you don't have
a 100% right. That is Todd, I'm going to stop you and I'm going to say that is probably the smartest thing I've ever heard said about wrestling. If you don't have a quality bad guy, you're not worth 2 cents as a good guy, correct?
Absolutely. And I mean, you can only have heels go at each other so much. They need the good guy as well. They look, an antagonist needs a protagonist, just saying. And it works both ways.
And you know what? And I think, and I would like to ask a question of both of you. Who do you think the worst bad guy ever was? And I'm going to nominate the Sheik from Detroit, you know, the one that threw flaming paper into people's faces. I think that Sheik, not the Iron Sheik, but the Sheik from Detroit,
right,
was the meanest guy. Now, Todd, who do you think the meanest bad guy was?
Man, I seriously love me some Roddy Piper, but you want to go in old days, go back old school, and I'm going to follow up his name. I say it, I kind of get dyslexic saying his name. It was Furpo Pimpuro or Pimpuro Furpo or whatever. He had the claw. He was, and he would lick the blood off the fingers and stuff. Oh, my God, he was such a great bad guy. You know, we're talking back with Johnny Powers and stuff.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
So you've got him. I've got the Sheik from Detroit. And, Steve, who do you think the worst, the meanest bad guy was?
It could be Freddie Blassie. He bit people a lot. He was kind of like nicknamed Vampire.
Yeah, I think, boy, that
Iron Man Freddie Blassie was awful.
I like Sheik and also his nephew Sabu a lot, so that's not a bad choice, but I've heard about Freddie's wrestling days and he was pretty brutal.
Well, you know what? That's what this business grew up on. And you know what? It's what it is. You know, we've come through the Vince McMahon days. And that's okay. But you know what? That old school wrestling, it used to be rough and tough. And you know what? We really enjoyed it. There was a guy down here in the Mid-Atlantic named Bulldog Lee Henning. Does anybody remember him? Do you remember him, Todd?
I do not.
Enlighten.
I had a whole different region.
Okay. All right. Steve, do you remember Bulldog Lee Henning?
No, enlighten us, John.
He was the dude that had the foreign object. And he would get people under their ankles, under their knees. And I mean, he was the meanest dude. And I'll never forget, Bulldog Lee Henning and Tony Nero, some no-name, they were wrestling George Becker and Johnny Weaver, which were the class acts of the late 60s. I mean, they were the best of the best. And I'll never forget that Bulldog Lee Henning had that foreign object. He was messing around with Johnny Weaver, and the referee was just keeping him out of the ring. And George Becker just slugged the referee. And he got in there, and he made mincemeat out of both of them. And it was like the most exciting. And I'll never forget, my dad came home. That's when people had to work Saturday for half a day. My dad came home, and the first thing I said was, "Dad, you wouldn't believe what we just saw in wrestling." And it was just, and my dad laughed. My dad was just such a cool guy. And he knew I loved wrestling. I loved it. It was a passion for me. It still is, you know. And I told him all about it, and he said, "Son, that's great. I wish I had been here to see it with you." And you know what? That was the coolest thing a dad could ever say. "Son, I wish I'd been here to see it with you." And I remember my mother smiling. Do what?
I'm with you on that.
So anyway, it was great.
I am with you on that.
And my dad had moments. You know, he was a World War II veteran. He wasn't well educated, but my dad had some incredible moments with me. He said, "Son, I wish I had seen it with you." And he gave me a hug. And I remember my mom was smiling. I didn't know what that meant. But my dad was my hero that day. And you know what? I think it's great when your dad comes up with a hero kind of moment. And I know he's up there in heaven. And I know he's hearing what I said. But it was absolutely, it was the coolest thing in the world when my dad said that. So anyway, I'm sorry. I had to get back to my roots and tell you guys about it. So anyway, back to you, Steve.
I got a tangent on that before Steve answers there and has his next part. I know he's got something in queue in his head and he started. But the foreign object, man, is it just me that misses the at least pretend check of the dude's boots and such, and they would check to make sure that everybody was clean coming into the ring and wasn't bringing anything? That little bit of the pre-match stuff.
You're not wrong.
I miss that.
You're not wrong, because Chael Sonnen, the MMA fighter, even brought that up in one of his videos, that WWE doesn't have heels anymore because they don't have any rules. And I like New Japan Pro Wrestling, but they also kind of are very relaxed on the rules, so it's kind of hard to have villains when you don't have any, don't enforce the rules as much. So I think that's what Chael's thing was.
And Todd, I want to thank you for that. To be honest with you, Todd.
It's a little thing.
Other people know
that. That probably made this show for me. Because you're exactly right. You are 100% spot on. I mean, you know, and by the way, we're always glad when you're busy participating, because I know sometimes you don't. You're just a great listener. But you know what? When you come up with things like that, that really makes this show pop. And it makes this show better than anything anyone could guess. And so, anyway, thank you, Todd, for those great comments. We really, really appreciate them, or at least Dr. John loves them. So thanks a lot, buddy.
I know Steve jumped in on that. Steve, what say you, brother?
No, I basically just I stated earlier that Chael Sonnen brought that up, too, about checking the boots and checking the gear, because, like, I see it on independent shows, but I never see it on WWE. And Chael's point was that there's no true villains in WWE because they don't enforce the rules like that anymore, or they check the gear, and the villain is trying to, you know, evade the referee or whatever.
I think it was a piece of the it's part of the art that's being overlooked, because that was that little bit of tension, because we always knew when certain people were being evasive or whatever, you know, the whole nine yards, you know. There was, sure, at certain points it was all, you know, it could have been more half-assed a check than it was type thing or whatever, you know, just going through the motions thing. But it was one of those tension moments, because that was a builder, because that was one of those things where he went through all the introductions. He went through. It was part of the build up to the match, man. Because you know what? Once they got checked, okay, we can hear the damn bell now anytime.
Ding, just, ding, it, ding, you got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd, I will say your comment has brought me back more to the original wrestling on television, because everybody does know that those were the cheapest time, you know, Saturday from 12 to 1, 1 to 2, and 2 to 3, and Saturday night, midnight to 1 a.m., that was the cheapest time you could buy on television. And it was priceless what they presented to us. And, I mean, and I think Channel 13 WLOS-TV in Asheville, the fact that they had Hiro Matsuda, who was an incredible martial artist, and the Missouri Mauler, I mean, they were without a doubt the greatest tag team in the 60s. And I mean, I don't care I don't care if it was Becker and Weaver or whatever. Missouri Mauler and Hiro Matsuda were the greatest tag team partners in history in the 60s. And you know, they did a great job. They made the people furious. And that's what they did. And they did things that the dudes on WWE, they don't do now. I mean, they don't make people furious, mad, because, you know, it's a lot of showbiz. But, you know, we've got to give credit to the dudes that really created this sport. And it's a sport, and I'll fight you to my death that this is a sport.
All right, John.
Do what? You mad, Steve? Did I make you mad?
No, I got multiple villains to get to, and I'm just waiting for you to finish.
Okay, I've finished now. I'll let you have it. I'm sorry. You got me excited. Go ahead, Steve. We love you, Steve.
And we're grading you as you go, Steve. So yeah, this going to be fun.
No, Noki said something similar about wrestling being a sport. I just saw that quote recently when Oki passed. But villains I have to mention, there's multiple. There's Ox Baker, there's Finley, and then from recent times, like, or from recent decades, or Japanese wrestling, Minoru Suzuki, who I mentioned earlier.
Now, Steve, when you're talking about Ox Baker, what was his finishing move?
Well,
because
I believe he called it the hurt punch, but it could also be called the heart punch.
Right,
yeah,
heart punch.
Yeah.
You get the A-plus for tonight, knowing that Ox Baker's finishing move was the heart punch. And I'm going to tell you what, that was a big damn man. Pardon my grammar. He was huge, and he was exciting to watch, and you could just hate the heck out of him. And that's what made Ox Baker great. Please, back to you, Steve. I'm sorry, Steve. You're getting into my realm here with Ox Baker. I mean, these are great guys. I don't know where they are. I'm sure they're probably dead. But Ox Baker,
yeah,
Ox's
path.
He was
one of that series of old school big son of a guns.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big son of a gun.
He was, and Todd, you're right. I mean, Ox Baker was so much – he was so great to get mad about. I mean, it was great. Yeah. All right.
Villains. Okay. Steve, what you got next, brother?
Those were the big three that came up in my head, but Ox kind of – I watched a little bit of him. I don't know if I can match the energy, but like when I was going to convention, I knew there was like going to be panels, and there was going to be a promo panel, because I was familiar with the convention and that wrestling brand. And so I knew Jerry Lawler was going to be at that convention. So I, in my promo, I threatened to heart punch Jerry Lawler, but he wasn't close enough for me to hear. But, yeah, so Ox kind of influenced me a little bit, just with coming up with the promos for
Man,
just to get some panel time.
I got to tell
you, yeah.
Roddy Piper doing that coconut on Jimmy Snuka's head.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy Piper
was
he was a god of professional wrestling. He really was.
He, I think I had posted it for the listeners. Yeah, for the listeners, we have a group chat that we do that we throw stuff out there. And I had found an old interview with Roddy Piper, and he was talking, I think it was Ole Anderson. And Ole Anderson was threatening him, and he was like, yeah, I know you're as strong as an ox and about as smart as one. And I was just, and you realize how old that interview was. I mean, Piper, boy, he had the chops from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Well, is truly a, he was a hero to professional wrestling. And his humility when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame was unbelievable. I mean, he was a gentleman from day one. And you know what he said when he got inducted? He said, without this business, I could never have provided for my family the way that I did. And I can't thank this business enough. And I'll never forget those statements. I mean, that's what he said. He was right. This is a, it's a great business. You can get mad at it if you want, but you know what? Roddy Piper said it for everyone. It's a great business, and I could never have provided for my family like I did. And we are fortunate that we had Roddy Piper for 22 years, and we got to watch his antics in the ring. He was tough. Oh, my God, he was tough. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The,
yes.
Hey, we're in that magic time for station break, Dr. John.
Yes, we are. And Banana Jack in the morning. Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle in the afternoon from 3 to 5 drive time. And Dr. John sometimes in the afternoon. This is WLSC, AM and FM, Loris, Conway, Myrtle Beach. Truly a station you need to listen to on www.tigerradio.com.
All right, good to go.
Absolutely.
The,
all right.
The best thing. They're good.
I got,
all right. Steve,
I got some
Steve
more.
We had some stuff we talked about in queue. I feel like we could stay on Doggone Villains all night. Do we want to go back to what we were kind of chatting in green room, sir?
I have some thoughts to finish because I didn't get to I wanted to mention because the reason why I mentioned Fit Finlay was because Terry Funk said that Fit Finlay was the best wrestling heel at the time. So,
I tell you what, that's saying something coming
no
from Terry Funk.
Exactly. And William Regal's brought that up, and even JBL mentioned when he was interviewing Finlay that that he was one of the best heels, you know, ever. So I could definitely see that. And Suzuki is just a mean heel that, you know, he's got the credibility to back him up, and Finlay kind of similar. Just legit tough guy, so he's able to he's not afraid to incite a crowd or take anybody, you know, out that he wants to. And there's stories of him eating up newbies that William Regal like just talked about, so just very believable villain. And I watched some of Finlay's World Sport work, and yeah, he was definitely a good villain in his prime, even before he got to WCW, before he got to the States. But
and Steve, if I
yeah.
may, I want to give tribute to truly one of the greatest villains of all time. It's not someone that anyone knows up here, but it was a guy named Dale Lewis. He was an Olympic wrestler, and Dale Lewis was part of Florida Championship Wrestling, and he was the meanest man. He was the most accomplished man, the meanest man that I have ever seen, and his primary opponent was Cyclone Negro, who was such a huge popular guy. And I'll tell you what, those guys tore it up. They were some of the greatest wrestling I ever saw. Was on that old fuzzy Channel 17 before it became Channel 17 in Atlanta. And I'll never forget, that was some of the greatest wrestling that I ever saw. So I want to give tribute to two older guys. I'm sure they may not be with us, but they were the best. It was Dale Lewis, Olympic wrestler, and Cyclone Negro from South America. Those guys tore it up, and they need a plug. So I just gave them a plug. Todd, is that okay?
I like it. I like it. No, you confused me when you said you were going to give tribute to two older guys. I thought you were talking about yourself and me.
Shut up, Todd. Don't you say that. No, giving tribute to two of them. I know, Todd, we love you, but don't you dare say that. Don't you dare say that to me. I'm only 29 years old. I just masquerade. It's time.
I like it.
We love you, Todd.
Steve, do you have any leftovers before we try to touch on what we were playing with in the green room, man?
I got some news. I know I told you some news earlier. We can get into that a little bit. And then I do want to hit on a little bit of AEW and AAA as well. But you want to hit the green room news?
Let's do a little bit. Let's talk about what do we think they're going to do with the pay-per-views going forward? In reference to WWE, there's some rumor mill out there that changes may be afoot
in the next year. The update that I see is more international shows and less gimmick shows. So gimmick shows would probably be like Elimination Chamber as a show where it's like two Elimination Chamber matches or a TLC pay-per-view.
TLC, yep.
We'll just table their chairs, but I have no idea what pay-per-views are going to be canceled, but they did already cancel one pay-per-view idea called Day One, which I thought was a dumb idea. Like, just, it's like a New Year's show, but why would you call it Day One when you can't always guarantee doing it on the first day of the year? Just weird, but yeah, so that was one pay-per-view that changed. And then international shows, they kind of already do international shows. So I don't think much is going to change that much, but we'll see, hopefully starting in January. It just makes sense for them to start with Royal Rumble, so that alone, getting rid of Day One, I thought was okay. But they just had Clash of the Castle in Wales, and they do these big events in Saudi Arabia, like, at least once a year. So they've already been doing international shows. Yeah.
So instead of those being, let's say, an ad hoc pay-per-view or a throw-in pay-per-view, maybe those will become part of the standard rotation? What are you thinking?
Yeah, because Clash of the Castle seemed like a good show. In Wales, and the UK fans are pretty not spoiled, and they're very engaging. So it made for a good atmosphere. And also, Drew McIntyre and Gunther just had – I mean, no, sorry. Sheamus and Gunther had a banger that night. It was probably one of Sheamus' best matches ever. And they just beat the crap out of each other with chops and strikes and whatnot.
And you touched on what they needed to get rid of with the Day One. What is the must-haves? My mind, of course, is WrestleMania, because that's kind of like the original, the standard, and maybe I'll admit that's me being an old guy. Maybe that's what I want to see them keep. But I'm assuming that and, like, SummerSlam, those, you know, maybe because those were two of the originals, and maybe those are two they should keep. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they have a certain amount of flagship shows. They do, like, a pay-per-view every month, so I don't think it's much going to change at all. But they're not going to get rid of big shows. Like, they're always going to have Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, even though Survivor Series is more like a tag team event. They kind of made that like a brand versus brand show, which is nobody really cares about. That's the criticism with Survivor Series, is like there's no stakes, but they'll always have that. And I think lately Money in the Bank is kind of like a gimmick event, but it's one of the more important shows. It's not the flagship show like WrestleMania or Royal Rumble, but it's definitely as important because the whole 1 year stipulation of the contract for the title shot.
I suppose they might tweak them a little bit. So maybe something you touched on was referencing the Survivor Series. Maybe they'll make it where it's, I don't want to make this sound like really lousy. Maybe they will tweak it so it's has increased value. Let's go with that. Increased value.
Yeah, they just have to find a way to make, because every year it seems like brand versus brand, and then when they had 1 year where the NXT brand was involved, and that was kind of cool because NXT for a long time was just viewed as developmental, but at that point it kind of was like their third roster, like official main roster. And with Triple H in charge, we're probably going to see more NXT talent moving up and also more talent coming into the NXT brand. So I guess if anything happens, they'll probably just make NXT more prevalent within Survivor Series. That'd be the only guess I have on what chance it'd make. Because
about how Survivor Series started, man, because there wasn't the...
There wasn't two or three.
Yeah, exactly,
kind of.
Exactly. You didn't have two competing flagships and the unified title. I mean, think about this. Back in the day, Macho Man winning that. I mean, what a big deal that was. Survivor Series really meant something. Do they necessarily have to go that far back? But could it mean, you know, something where there's they can add value with that?
I think besides the tag matches, it's been mostly champ versus champion stipulations. And, like, you'll get the Raw champion versus SmackDown champion, Universal versus WWE, like, stuff like that. Intercontinental versus U.S. or something like that. That's kind of like the stipulation or the gimmick they've done with that. And sometimes that works, depending on who's champion. Like, we had Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, I think, 1 year, and that was kind of interesting. He had, like, some matches like that. I do want to mention other news, non-WWE news. Heard recently that AEW is pitching a show for the women and also an ROH TV show to WarnerMedia, which owns, I believe, TNT, the Turner Network, so, and TBS. So,
that is
not surprising,
there's some big rosters of talent there. And
yeah, they have
WWE
pushed
that few years ago, and then kind of dropped off.
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, I feel like the woman's side got really pushed far and wide, looking for the bigger thing because they did like the Women's Royal Rumble and all that, and there was a lot of talent in that ring. And
yeah,
then,
for WWE. Yeah,
and then it kind of they narrowed it down to just a few names, so they kind of gave a spotlight to all this talent that they had, and then the scope of the spotlight got smaller. There's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah, I mean, WWE has like 3 women's titles, and they got like 2 sets of women's tag titles. There's a lot of criticism about the women's tag team division, but I'm specifically referring to AEW possibly doing.
I'm following you, but what I'm getting at is, and I'm with you on that, but the fact is, AEW's got people that were formerly WWE and that kind of stuff. What I'm getting at is that the women's roster, I don't think it's getting the love it should across the board, period. And I think this is a great opportunity because there is some extreme talent.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of criticism about AEW's women division, but they have a lot of great talent. I think Jamie Hayter is an upcoming star. Britt Baker and is kind of carried that women's division with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa's been out with injury. She's kind of like not been vacated yet. They got Toni Storm. They got Ember Moon. Now called Athena.
I watched some Ember Moon stuff years ago, and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
Just mind-boggled because I felt like she could do anything.
Yeah, I saw her on the Ring of Honor years ago before she got signed with WWE, and, yeah, she was impressive then, too, and she does a really cool stunner finish from the top rope and never seen it before,
so she did it,
so that was neat.
She's just an example of somebody that no longer with WWE, and it's not, I don't know why, because I felt like if she wanted to, she could grapple, and she could do the high-flying stuff. And
I think she was underutilized there, and I think it's great that there's other organizations like AEW she can go to, because she's talked about her frustrations there, and they kind of want her to be a coach, and she was kind of just there to make other women look good, and it's like she's not old, so I don't know why they would de-push her like that. Usually when they ask you to coach, it's either because you're hurt, can't get cleared, or you're just old. That's just the assumption I would make, you know.
Oh, you mean you're the Fabulous Moolah? I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry I said that, because that means you're the Fabulous Moolah.
I tell you what, that was somebody that was carried forever, but whatever. Not saying that she didn't have skill, but she definitely was carried forever. The same stuff kind of happens with the guys and things like that. But that's just a particular talent. Watch her in the ring and just stood out every time. So how the hell do you not take advantage of that? Okay. Did you have anything else? Because I kind of want to muck about with that whole arena level stuff.
Well, I think I'm more interested in seeing them have a Ring of Honor TV show, because they bought Ring of Honor, I think, months back, and they just haven't been able to get a TV deal. So that just the rumor of them pitching it to their parent company is big, because that's what people have been waiting for, and Ring of Honor has been kind of like a C-tier brand, like a third tier in the States lately, since AEW Rose, and also because the pandemic kind of killed Ring of Honor too.
Didn't help.
I think it's great that they still want to operate it, because if WWE bought it, I don't think they would have ran it. I think they just would have shut it down, sign their talent to NXT, and then just have the library. The AEW has the library, and they're still going to run the brand, so hopefully they've been making Ring of Honor relevant with Chris Jericho and Daniel Garcia, and Claudio, but hopefully they can, you know, get a TV deal soon and possibly put that on a streaming service like HBO at some point.
That would
be
a good deal.
That was just the rumblings of pitches is good. Hopefully it leads to something, but we never know with TV networks. They could always downsize, like,
for sure.
Sinclair Media Group owned Ring of Honor for years, and they didn't fund them enough is what I kept hearing. So hopefully Warner Media can help with that. But I know we wanted to get into the arena thing, but I have to mention real quick, there's a big event in Mexico for the brand AAA. And this year, every year it's called Triple Mania. And this year was kind of like the 30th Triple Mania, but it's a 3-day event this year. There was one in April 30th, one in June, and then one just recently wrapped up in October. I won't go over a lot of it because I'm less familiar with the roster, but there's been a lot of talk about the main event of the October 15th show, and not been able to check it out yet just because how busy I've been, but I'm definitely going to have to go back and watch the October 15th Mexico City Triple Mania 30 card. The main event had Pentagon Jr. defeating Volano 4 and by pinfall, and heard it looked pretty brutal from the pictures I've seen because Pentagon has mass rip. And he didn't even lose the match, but you could see a lot of his face and it all bloodied up. And so I'm going to have to go back and watch that. It was a mass versus match, and that's a staple in Lucha Libre. And Volano lost his mask, Volano 4. So. And Pentagon Jr. is one of my favorite luchadors going right now because I got like more exposed to him through Lucha Underground, and that was kind of like a cinematic wrestling show that they had on LRA Network, and Pentagon really impressed me on that show, and it's been really good on AEW as a tag team wrestler, so it's kind of cool that he's kind of main evented the flagship show AAA there. But I wanted to get that out of the covered because international news. But we were talking earlier before the show about Shawn Michaels. I think he probably brought this up on an interview with Errol Hawani about NXT not running arenas. That doesn't surprise me. If you watch the show, they're not in an arena. They're in like a location that they kind of like have set up as, you know, like not a studio, but like a training center area, I believe. And they kind of have enough room for the staging and the fans to come in and watch. And they're based in Orlando. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking, can they get something where they can do consistent? Cause if we go to the, old school, say, Georgia Championship Wrestling or whatever, what was on, they had the same facility that they would broadcast out of, regardless of when it was taped. Can they get one that's enough? Because it's an ideally, and I know it's hard, because when you start talking travel, it costs money and all that kind of stuff. But to rent an arena and all that, between logistics and the fees and all that, you start doing stuff, would they be good to go having a number of larger studios? I mean, we know people use like airplane hangars and can film a chunk of a movie in a doggone airplane hangar and stuff like that. Boy, you could fit some people in some of that stuff, and there's a ton of independent airports that are done or gone. Just, I'm spitballing here as I'm going. But do you think they could get some multi-regional locations where it would help the NXT brand get to, let's call it, other audiences, while not necessarily having to spend for a big arena.
I've seen NXT shows before in an arena and in small venues. Like, I saw them in, like, a theater-type venue. So, and that was not for TV. That was just, like, a house show live event that wasn't taped or wasn't broadcasted. But,
right.
So I think what their plan is probably just running from the same venue that they train the wrestlers at. Because in 2020, they moved to the Performance Center, which is kind of like the training area. And then they used to run at a Full Sail University, and then it's basically they're in a training center or performance center, and they call it Capital Wrestling Center is the venue that they use. And they kind of changed up the look of the show a year ago, which I think a lot of people were very mixed about. I didn't care to watch the rebranding because I liked the way it looked before with the black and gold color scheme, and just it looked like a serious, gritty wrestling show, darker, not all lit up, more emphasis on wrestling than story lines and angles. But with Triple H in charge again of NXT, I think he had some health issues a year ago, and that kind of sped up the change, the rebranding of NXT. They had, like, NXT Black and Gold, and then they had, like, NXT 2.0, which is kind of like tie-dye color. Kind of like the brand was basically being run by Vince and his guys once Triple H had his health issues and with his heart. And with Vince being kind of retired from running the shows, and he's more just a board of directors guy, investor, Triple H kind of taking the reins back. He was the reason why NXT got, you know, become big. It was kind of like a super indie, just with WWE production. They have a lot of the talent from AEW have come in from WWE or NXT, and NXT was better than the main roster for a while, but I think AEW, they were always beating NXT in the ratings mostly, and because they were on the same Wednesday night time slot, and so some people theorize that's the reason why NXT. And, you know, rebranded because they became more of a developmental. That was the idea of branding, but you didn't have to change everything up to make it developmental again, but whatever. So it's kind of been talked about a lot, but the arena thing, I'm not bothered by it. I think it's fine, but maybe they can do shows based in Florida and other venues besides the Capital Wrestling Center, because I'm sure...
Yeah, they're just going to need other spots because you can only tap the same audience so much.
Well, see, the thing... You also mentioned Georgia Championship Wrestling. TNA Impact also kind of based their shows a lot in one venue, like the Tennessee Fairgrounds, or they would kind of... book, they would tape a lot of their shows in Universal Studios, Florida. So it's been done a lot where they base it at one venue. I could see NXT running shows outside of the Capital Wrestling Center, possibly for the big pay-per-views. Or not pay-per-views, but like they used to have takeover shows for kind of like the bigger events, the bigger NXT cards, and those were fun events to go to. I went to one in Orlando in 2017, so, and that was an arena. So it just depends. I think for the bigger shows, definitely that'd be fine to run bigger venues. Not doesn't have to be arenas, but I think for now they're mostly just going to be based in Orlando, the same venue. But I hope that answers that. Because I know That was a lot, but yeah, that was one comment that we heard. I think Shawn Michaels brought up on an aerial interview.
All right, good to go. Yeah. Dude, you know we're at that 5-minute mark. Good grief,
yeah.
This went quick tonight. Woo.
Mm-hmm. But
well,
I think
this is Dr. John. This is Dr. John, and I wanted to jump in. I was busy texting Cindy at the Ramada Inn in Raleigh, North Carolina, because when those guys used to wrestle at that Raleigh center across the street from the Ramada Inn, they would all come over there on Monday nights, and they would fix them dinner at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And Cindy said, and she got to know all of them, including Maestro, Ric Flair, and everybody, and she said that she would come on and remember those great Monday evenings. Would you guys like to have Cindy on the show?
Cool.
Oh, I think
that'd
it would
be
incredible.
Cool.
She's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and I'm gonna start running events up there at the Ramada Inn in Raleigh. It's a great place to have Comic Cons and everything. Cindy said she would love to come on and reminisce a little bit about, you know, all those great wrestlers she met. And Cindy's a nice girl. She was not – there was nothing improprietous about that. She was a good lady.
No, you're good. You don't have to qualify. You're good. She's
great.
We've got to do a round table in
the next couple of weeks. So just thought I'd mention that, something good. And I'm going to go back to Steve because we got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
We got about 3 minutes and change.
Next event in Virginia that's coming up, I believe, is Next Up Pro Wrestling December 10th. So I'll be looking out for that in Yorktown. So we'll see. I know there's been some matches announced. I'll probably get into that next week. But, yeah, just flag and come on and get some of the news and some old school wrestling. So you can find the show at ProWrestlingInterviews.com, the Facebook page. You can find me at Cyber Steven. I can send links there if you don't have Facebook. So, yeah, Todd, John, any more comments or plugs?
I don't have anything wrestling related. Look, you know my usual routine. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Thank you very much for letting me hang out with you tonight. I know we kind of did an ad hoc show tonight. Man, this was a lot of fun because we covered some bizarre ground.
I got a reply back to John. If you're talking about catch wrestling, that was invented in 1871 or coined in 1871. Scientific wrestling, the brand, got formed in 2003. So it could be a term that has multiple meanings depending on who you ask. But catch wrestling started in 1870s, and scientific wrestling. Please check them out. If you like grappling, submission, grappling, you know, matches. So, yeah,
sick
just wanted to reply
sick
on that.
All right, well, I want to thank everybody for being with us because we're less than 60 seconds out, and we're going to be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. There you go, Batman. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Steve will be with us. Todd will be with us. I'll be with us. We'll have another guest or two, and we're going to have a lot of fun because this is Pro Wrestling Interviews. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time. Take care. Say goodbye,
Velvet,
everybody.
We'll see you soon, brother. We miss you.
That's
we're
right.
We're just placeholders to get back, Velvet. Where's that come from, British lady?
That's right. Dr. John's got to find the British lady, but I'll find her.
Where's that compound British lady?
Well, she's coming on soon.
Thanks for hanging out tonight, team. Appreciate it so much.
All right, and we'll see everybody next time. Bye.
Happy Sunday, all.
Bye.
It is so cute you think you can operate the board.
Sometimes.